I think I only went to two of them, but the first time was real good. And then last night, basically, they're just getting into masterpiece and using the whole idea of a comet and the effects that a comet will do as well, for the most part.
So you, on the whole, you thought it was pretty good then?
Yeah.
Somebody was asking me, you know, whether I'd recommend it or not, and I, without having...
I've got the taste of the rest of the product.
Mm-hmm. The brochure that I saw looked good, and I figured it was pretty much good. I appreciate hearing that. Thank you.
Are you here from parents?
Yes. Right. Yeah. Right, you did it by faith, huh? Reminder, of course, for tomorrow, a little quiz. Our first of about five total that we'll have on those principal parts. So your grade this semester will be largely that one paper that you'll have due near the about the week before the end of the semester. About five of these quizzes, which will be something analogous to vocab quizzes. And then maybe two, at the most three, translation quizzes. So that's what we're looking for. And the translation quizzes, as we go through sections of scripture, we'll cap it off by, I'll say, you know, we'll have a quiz at such and such a time, and you'll be responsible, for, say, for John chapters 1, 2, and 3. And what you'll have to do is just have a UBS text. Do we have any text back there? Okay.
Library.
Yeah, there's some in the library, but if you, the reason I say that is some of you may mark yours up and put translation notes in the margin and so forth. And I want you to use a raw, unadulterated text, you know, for translation purposes in class. But you have to bring a text to class, and then I'll just tell you, say, you know, a certain section of verses, about 10 or 15 verses or so, and then you'll have to translate that. Okay, let's finish up John chapter 3, if we can. And then we'll move up to John 14 and do some... I'm almost hesitant to get into some areas where the theology is going to intrigue us to the point where we may not get very far in the translation, but there are some areas that I think we ought to look at. But we'll finish John chapter 3. I think we're up at around verse 16 now. No, wait, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, 3:7. Okay, I got the marker on... I looked at the wrong side of the page for the marker. Yeah, 3:7. So we did 6, and we're up to 7, I believe. Okay. And let John take John 3:7. Page.
Me tama tama te poki e conto de tomas genetei
Okay.
Talmud.
Yeah, this is from Talmudzo, and means to wonder or marvel or something.
Wonderful.
To wonder. To marvel. That'd be fine.
Okay.
It's using subjunctive with a negative, you know, for a command.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, okay, marvel not.
Not should you wonder is kind of the idea.
Marvel not.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel not. Marvel not. The one who says to me.
Okay, Hoti, just take that as because.
Because
or that.
Because
marvel not that I said.
I say to you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because I say to you, it is necessary. I mean, because of that.
Yes.
You,
right.
That you be born from above.
Right. Okay, good. Yeah, that's that day, that's that impersonal verb, and then you've got humas with the infinitive, as subject to the infinitive. So marvel not that I say to you, it is necessary for you to be generated from above, or necessary that you be generated from above. You almost have to put something in there to connect it in English.
Could you make this as a question, because I may have some further sentence. Do you not marvel that I say to you?
Oftentimes you can, except that here with the subjunctive, you're probably going to be tipped off. It's less likely. See, you're not normally using subjunctive in a question like that.
I
suppose there might be a possibility of a question, but it would be something like, it's not that you should wonder, something like that. It's not quite a straightforward question when you use the subjunctive, because you've got a realm of probability or possibility there that you're dealing with, rather than inquiring for a statement of fact. So that certainly, I don't think that would be your first guess on that when you see the subjunctive there. But in general, of course, you do have a good point when you start off with may like that. See, the question would have to be something you shouldn't be wondering, because I said unto you, if you're born again, should you? That kind of thing. And, you're begging for no answer. But I think that would be you'd have to have context, and then it would be a lot less likely to see it with the subjunctive that way. If it were an indicative verb form, then of course it'd be a toss-up. Okay. Any other questions on that? Yes, Greg.
I just noticed that today, again and again.
Yes.
As I've seen it, it's always best translated as necessary
for. Right.
Coming. And I don't know whether that for is actually just put in there because it's a causal structure, because of infinitive.
Mm-hmm.
Or that for is actually part of the meaning of the day. It doesn't seem like it is.
No, I think what's really happening there is that we have, in English, a way of expressing those ideas is different than the way Greek does. Day is just, it means to be necessary, and it's indicating a certain obligation, and it's an impersonal verb, so you see it in a third-person form as if there was a neuter subject. In other words, it is there's a kind of an understood it. It is necessary, and then... You're not having, it's not a transitive verb where you're taking a direct object, but yet there are things that are modifying that idea. And it's almost as though it is necessary. You could perhaps in some instances get by with saying something like this, if you don't want to have the for there. You could say, your being generated from above is necessary. You could say it that way, because the it is kind of corresponding to whatever's going to come on this other side, and the other thing is kind of an apposition, the whole structure. So whatever is necessary, the thing that's necessary is that you're being generated from above. That whole phrase is the thing that's necessary. So you could perhaps translate that way and eliminate a for entirely. You could just say, this whole phrase here is the impersonal subject of the verb day. And that's really what's happening. But in English, most customarily, we have an idiom is necessary for this. And I think that's the reason. It's not so much that for is there at all, really. It's just English idiom. Right. Yeah. And you could even say it is necessary to be generated above, from above. But then your problem is trying to fit the you in there in English. So if we got you, then we usually have to put something like for. It's necessary that you be generated from above. Necessary for you to be generated from above. We wouldn't say it's necessary you to be generated from above without some awkwardness there. We probably understand it, but it'd be awkward. Okay, verse 8. Jim. Okay. Pene there, the verb? Yeah. Yeah, it's blowing. You can probably translate it blowing. It's a verb form from pneuma. and it means to, you know, to blow or to wind, or something like that. So we say, you know, blowing would be appropriate here. Now, how, what do you translate this? Well, go ahead.
Spirit is blowing where it wishes.
Mm-hmm.
And its voice you are hearing.
Okay.
But we do not know where it comes and where.
This is kind of to go under, literally. Supo plus ago. So to lead under. So they often say something like proceeding or, you know, going.
That's why they translate it because it's like a nautical term, because a ship is being blown or being led under by the wind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's interesting.
And it lifts,
okay.
It lifts underneath the wind. It's like, you know, that's the direction it lifts.
That's interesting. Yeah, I don't really remember the way the English was looking. Okay, that's the idea, is going under.
And so is everyone having been generated out of the Spirit.
Right, having been generated out of the Spirit. Perfect participle. Okay. Now, the Spirit... Now, whether you translate the Spirit or not, or wind, this is kind of a debate, because the word pneuma also refers to wind in the physical sense. So he seems to be drawing a physical analogy from which he's building a spiritual one, but that would be a theological point. This work could easily be translated either one, or breath for that matter. But either the wind or the Spirit is blowing where it wills, or where it wills, where it is willing, it is blowing. And the sound of it you are hearing could be voice or sound. The idea here for phonane, though, is more the physical concept of sound, not an articulated speech type of voice. You know, you can translate a voice, but as long as you don't get the idea of articulated speech involved. Phonane, we get, you know, phonics and so forth from that. It's just the idea of sound. So in the sound of it, you're hearing, but you have not, you do not know or have not known, that's a perfect form, but it's normally translated present. You do not know from where, this pothen, is from where it is coming and where it is going under. Thus is everyone who has been generated, or thus is everyone having been generated out of the Spirit. Okay, good. Any questions there? Go ahead.
Where, I mean, you could say just where it's going, but why say, you know, where it's going under? It's almost like it's a passive idea to it, you know, it's being, John was saying, like it's being blown under.
Well,
and I don't quite understand.
No, I'm not sure either. I would have to do a word study on that. Just, you know, one would have to do a word study through the New Testament on that particular phrase, because, of course, the English isn't translating it very... It seems to be translated quite loosely. I think the word is fairly common, and it's often I've heard it often translated proceed, that type of thing. But the idea is either going under, you know, going under in the point where from it's going by you, and it may be going under where you don't see it anymore. That may be the idea. I don't know. I have to really look at every usage of it to ascertain that. Most of the time, it's translated pretty loosely, and apparently, we are not really seeing the same picture that they're seeing by using that. That Hupo has got a very, very definite concept of under, though, and so leave that to a word study for someone.
To lead under.
Yeah, to lead under. See, it's ago to lead, and then Hupo, and under is sometimes conceptual. You know, in other words, we don't necessarily need to picture this as some physical location under. I mean, we have words like hypostasis, you know, that which stands under, and there's the idea of support, and so forth. So there's lots of graphic pictures there, but that would be an interesting one. If anybody takes a preposition hypo, you ought to look at that word, these combination words, to see the thought flowing through there, and it escapes me right now. It's been a long time since I looked at it.
Jesus used that a lot. I think it is in John 14, or maybe John 8, too.
Yes.
That word was used.
Right. Yeah, I think it's not indicating necessarily going down some, you know, down some shaft someplace, you know, their concept somehow is associated with that under, perhaps in the sense of concealment or something where, you know, you're not going to see it anymore. It's going to a point where you don't see it anymore. And I don't know if, you know, just speculating if somebody is talking about somebody going on a journey and before long they're down under the horizon, you know, you don't see them anymore. I don't know. There may have been some thoughts that way, but I don't want to speculate too much until I look at all the data and do a word study on it. So we'll have to leave that for... That's the problem going through and translating. You run into lots of things like this that you'd like to take time to deal with, and we really can't afford it right now. Okay, verse 9 then, we're up to Eric.
Nicodemus, I ate them all told. What do not I thought of can I die?
Okay.
Nicodemus answered and said to him, how is it able these things of these things come to know that come to pass? How is it able that
Yeah, something like that. How can King James says something like, how can these things be? But how is it possible these things come to pass? He dunatized to be possible, to be able. So, or you could say, how are these things able to be? How are these things able to be or come to pass? Kinomai, of course. So it's how are these things able to become? So the idea is, how can these things be? Okay, good. And verse 10, Glenn.
Of the Christians, and if not from soon came unto Damascus to Israel, I tell us who knows things?
Mm-hmm. Right. Good intonation. Although this...
Responding, I like to say responding, Jesus, and responding, Jesus, mm-hmm. to him.
Mm-hmm. Fine.
You are a teacher of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And this you do not know?
Yes, or these things you do not know. These things you do not know. Okay, now of course this could be either a statement or, you know, if you didn't have this punctuation here, it could be you are a teacher of Israel and these things you don't know, the statement. Or it could be you are a teacher of Israel and these things you do not know.
So,
let me see. Yeah, we do have, you are the teacher in Israel. Yeah, okay, that's even more. It's even more pointed as far as placing him in a certain position. You are the teacher of Israel, and these things you are not knowing.
Especially since he called him in verse 2 a teacher come from God.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, so he's... And you see, he was in a position of authority in the Sanhedrin and so forth, so you're not just a teacher, you're the teacher of Israel, as it were, and you do not know these things. Okay. So it's probably best to leave this as a question. Of course, there's always going to be debates about this, but he's expressing a marvel that the man doesn't know these things, although he, of course, knows that he doesn't know them. Verse 11, Mark.
Amen, amen, lego soi ho ti ho oidamen la lumen kai ho ho. Marju Rumen Kai Tang Marju Ritan Hevon U Lambanata.
Right. Okay.
Truly, truly, I am saying to you that which we know. We are speaking, and that which we have, or that which we saw,
okay,
we are witnessing, and our witness is not received.
Right, or you are not. Yeah, just an active form. Yeah, you are not receiving that witness. Right. A witness of us you are not receiving. Right. Okay, that he'orakamen is a perfect form from hora'o. So it would be we have seen, probably, in this case. He'oraka, you didn't have that one in this memorization section, did you? You'll have it later. But it's an irregular, irregular perfect form from Hora'o. Okay, good. Any other questions on that verse? Okay, I don't think I have anything specific to mention here other than that form. Okay, verse 12. And Dale.
Eta epigea ekon ekon human kai hu tisuita post ian epo epo human uranusnia tisuita.
Okay.
Boy, I think it's earthly one.
Earthly ones or earthly things. Depends on, you know, it's a neuter plural, so I probably want to say earthly things.
Okay, the earthly things. I say to you.
Mm-hmm. Or it's just an error, so I said to you. If I said to you earthly things.
Okay, if I said to you earthly things, and you did not believe.
It's kind of tricky here, yeah. They go to a present then, so, you know, if I said to you earthly things and you were not believing. And here you almost have to put the word order differently. You might want to put your pistuseta right after post there in English word order. Then I think it will be easier to flow. Your verb form at the end.
Future tense.
Yes.
You will not believe.
Or this post, you probably want to say, this is how. So how will you believe?
How will you believe?
Post pistuseta eon. There's your other clause. Okay. Apo is a subjunctive form from Lego, believe it or not. So if I should say, so eon apo, you mean ta epurania.
Heavenly things?
Right, heavenly things. Epurania. Okay, and look at those words, epigea and epurania. Can you see any derivation there or concept? Yeah, it's preposition epi plus ge for earth, so you get epigea is the upon earth things, and the epurania is the upon heaven things. Or the things which concern heaven, things which concern earth. So we get the idea of earthly things, heavenly things from it. So there's quite a bit of logic to that. And then, of course, the only other trick in there is that aeon with apo there. How should you believe? How, if I should say to you heavenly things, will you believe? It's kind of the way the Greek word order is. So if I said to you earthly things and you were not believing, how will you believe if I should say to you heavenly things? So we've got some interesting, we've got an aorist, we've got a subjunctive, we've got a present and a future, all in that one sentence. Okay, verse 13. Any questions beyond those here? Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking back at the relative pronoun back in the future verse with a top void on them, and because that.
Okay. Yeah, it'd be a neuter singular there.
And I don't know if that, I guess maybe that's still in the same frame of reference. It's still talking about
basically the same thing, except now he's used a noun with it, you know, ta epigea, and he's now particularizing it into earthly things. And in the previous verse, the whole was just representing the whole concept of, you know, that which we have known, which includes lots of different things. The thing which we have known really includes all these concepts. So it's sometimes just the viewpoint that you're looking at the time and the kind of construction you're setting up. We do that in English too. Sometimes we'll particularize things down to a series of number of different elements and then lump the whole thing together and call it, you know, that which I know, you know. So in other words, if I say that which I know, I'm not necessarily confining my total knowledge to one fact. You know, I'm collectivizing the whole thing, and I think that's what's happening here.
Well, that's an interesting, it goes from we to...
Yes, that's true. Yeah. Of course, he's...
We know when we speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We witness.
And now in verse 12, he's talking about the things that he's saying to you. Before, in verse 11, he's talking about things that, you know, he knows. Or, and of course, verse 11 is kind of a more generalized, broad thing. You know, he's talking about his own basic understanding. And then in verse 12, he's talking about the things that he's revealed to them, which is a smaller subset of the total things that he knows, of course. And he does use we, which is interesting, too, in verse 11. That which we have known, we are speaking, that which we have seen, we bear witness of, and the witnesses of us you are not receiving. Probably a reference to himself and another disciples, you know, that had come at this point. That's true, too. That's another possibility.
Because wait a minute, even, when you see this with
yeah, it's a contract verb.
That's right.
So it's just present form. Yeah. It's kind of tricky. It's la leo, so you have to watch that because you get it almost looks like a reduplication here.
Yeah. I was thinking if that was perfect, then you might just give a perfect sense to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though it in a sense had that to it, it might be more definite.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a plain old present.
Yeah.
Okay, well, verse 13 then, I believe, we're up next, to next. Question?
Do you think there's significance in switching from the you singular to the you plural?
Well, yeah, that'll happen too. He starts out...
verse 11.
Yeah, he's talking to you, I say to you. And I think what he's really doing, he's talking to Nicodemus, but Nicodemus is representing a whole group, you know. And so he's spreading that out to refer to, you know, you Pharisees. And that's quite commonly seen. If he's perceiving that Nicodemus's attitude is typical of the group, you know, that's what's happening here. Okay, and verse 13. And Greg, I think you're next. Okay. Right, yeah. Most of our texts don't have the last clause. Yeah.
No one has ascended into the heavens except the one from out of the heavens who has descended. Or I guess I would rather say that. Except the one who has descended from out of heaven.
Right, or just the one having descended out of heaven, just a participle there. There is participle, so the antecedent action. So the one having descended out of heaven.
Okay. The Son of Man.
Mm-hmm.
And then that last part would be the one being in the heaven.
Right, if you accept that reading, yeah. The one being in the heaven. Okay. The best manuscripts omit that, so. Not that it really makes a whole lot of difference, you know. It's just a theologically, it wouldn't be any problem. The one who's in heaven right now.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering about that and wondering how that possibly have gotten in there. And I noticed that David change is perfect. And it seems like, you know, at least the picture that I got in my mind was that no one has in the past ascended and now is in heaven, which would seem that what Jesus is saying there, in some way he is in heaven at that present time.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be the way that's a picture I get, and I don't know if that's correct or not. But then that would make that logical clause. That's basically saying the same thing as that perfect is.
Well, in a way, it can be related. Of course, if we say this, Jesus has to be speaking prophetically or speaking from a spiritual perspective, because at the time he's standing on the earth talking to Nicodemus, you know. So he's not talking about even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And a Trinitarian, of course, is looking at God the Son. I suppose they would probably argue God the Son was still in heaven even though Jesus was on the earth or something. I don't know. I've never heard him really argue on that basis. But this Anabebikin, no one has ascended, and the idea is, and still abides, you know, it's a perfect form into heaven, except the one having descended, even the Son of Man, having descended from heaven, even the Son of, the Son of Man. Of course, you can almost put an even in there, it's an apposition, or just a nominative that's set off like that. That's another case of the nominative case, just, you know, hohoios, to anthropu is just modifying hohoios, but it's just stuck there without anything obviously attaching it to something else, but it's drawing your attention to that. Okay, well, that is a perfect form. And I understand this in a prophetic sense, that he's saying no one, you know, has triumphed it. In other words, nobody at this point has ever done this. And then except the Son of Man, and he hasn't really done it yet, but he talks that way in John 17 and so forth. Lots of times, I finish the work thou gavest me to do, and I come to thee, and so forth. It's the same kind of language. Okay. Verse 14. And Bryce, I think you're next. Yeah, hupsoten. Hupsoten. Well, sheep sees very often.
Okay. Open in de eremo hupos.
Not just hutos? Did you say hupos or hutos? It's a good style there. Okay.
Upso senai de ton ion du anto du. I guess kathos is like that.
In like or according as, yeah. Mm-hmm.
According as Moses lifted up the serpent.
Right.
In the desert wilderness.
Desert wilderness, right.
Likewise, it is necessary that the Son of Man be lifted up.
Right. Likewise, it is necessary that the Son of Man be lifted up. But see this construction, kathos and hutos, you know, both adverbs there, as this, so this, you know, as this happened, so this happened, or as this, then likewise this. You saw that, I think Getchus gave an example of that kind of construction in one of the latter chapters. So, and as Moses lifted up, that hupsosin is, you know, to lift up, the serpent in the wilderness, so also, or likewise, or in like manner, it is necessary that the Son of Man be lifted up. Okay, and that's just a hupsothenai, it'd just be a passive infinitive. There is passive infinitive. Any questions there? Oh, dictionary form, let me just check it here. It should be here. It's just hupso-o. It's a contract verb. Hupso-o. It's upsilon with a rough breathing, C, omega, excuse me, omicron omega. Omega. Oh, over. Okay, verse 15,
Steve.
Okay.
In order that everyone
believes
in him, he gives life eternal.
Okay, yeah, this is from Echo. Yeah, it might have, should have, and it's a subjunctive. So in order that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life or should have eternal life. Subjunctive form there from Echo.
Or could it say that every believing one.
Right, every believing one. Every believing one in him, or everyone believing in him, or everyone who believes in him. Every believing one in him would probably be the most literal. Might have eternal life. Of course, hina with the subjunctive is one of the ways of indicating purpose, and this clause is indicating the purpose for which he was lifted up. He's lifted up in order that everyone believing in him might have eternal life. Good. Okay, and Dale, verse 16.
King James.
Yeah. Well, let's try to be literal here. That's, King James isn't too bad on this. Okay. Yeah, so that, or to the extent that, or thus, something like for, the idea is, so thus God loved, you know, God loved thus the world, and of course King James says, so God so loved the world. And the idea is in this fashion or in this manner, thus, this adverbial idea.
For thus God loved the world.
Mm-hmm. And this hosta is kind of going with that, hutos and hosta, you know, thus, to the extent that. So.
That.
Mm-hmm.
He gave the. Is the unique son?
Yeah, probably be the most literal translation because it is from Ginomai rather than from Genao. It's been misconstrued, I suppose. Generally translated begotten son, only begotten son. But the idea of only is more predominant. You can get begotten from the idea of son, you know, that, so the phrase in total isn't all that bad, but it can be misleading, especially in John 1:18. So, yeah, the only unique son, or I guess I wouldn't object to only begotten son here, if you, as long as you had, you know, the concept of son.
Well, although it's not really only, or unique, and it's not. Only begotten, because you can say only by just saying mono.
Yeah. Well, Gene is got the idea of coming into being, you know, becoming. And so there's a lot of debate on that. It's not worth getting into this right now. There's lots of difference of opinion among us as well. But all I'm saying is that this is not from the verb genao, meaning generated. So there's no implication of generation per se here. The idea is becoming. And so, in other words, a person could become unique by being born, or he could become unique during his life by things that he does, and so forth. So, just a fine point theologically. So, I don't know if there's any good translation, you know, simple couple words translation for this. So, just say only begotten son for now. We'll just slide through it and leave the rest up to the theologians. Okay.
Yeah.
There's that ekhe again, the subjunctive. Okay. So, and there's ace, all that believe into him. It's got that very, I don't know, it seems like I have a lot more force, you know, believing into him. It's more of a commitment connection there, placing yourself into him. So in order that everyone who believes into him, not will be destroyed, but will have eternal life, might have eternal life. Questions?
Mm-hmm. As Mark was saying in verse 15, with possible pistol, because ekhe here is singular, would that help that translation here, possible pistol, saying of all, you know, the believing one, you know, like looking at the singular rather than everyone.
Yeah, it's particularizing it, right? It's particularizing it right down to that one. Every believing, now every gives you, you know, it spreads it out, but it particularizes it. Sometimes you could use a plural and say all believers, you know, and but it doesn't want to do it that way. It wants to do it on an individual basis. And you'll find that very frequently in the New Testament. Desire not to make us a mob, a mob mentality, but to zero it in on the individual and then spread it out by using something like every, so that you have it in every situation, but each situation is an individual situation. So I think that's really what's happening. You're getting it zeroed right down into the individual believer and particularizing it. So, and then of course your verbs are singular as well. That apoletai is a subjunctive form too, in spite of, it is, yeah, it's I'm going to give you the full third person singular, second aorist, middle subjunctive from apolumi. With the apolumi is kind of an oddball one. It's a me verb. So apoletai is a subjunctive form. Okay, so might not perish is be a good translation, but might have eternal life.
Mm-hmm. From apolumi?
Yes, apolumi. That's spelled apo with two, alpha p omicron lambda, two lambdas. Upsilon, mu, iota. I think that is, maybe that one isn't in your chart in Getches at the end. I thought there were some combinations. Yeah, you have to watch out. This is not from... Mm-hmm. It seems to be a similar idea, but this one is apolumi. So there was apoluo, but I don't know if he didn't put it in there, did he? Okay, it's probably not used enough to justify it, since it is a me verb, and those are always nasty. Okay, and this one is even probably more irregular than didomi and the others, because you've got, starts out with two lambdas, and then you get one, and then you get the other form. Okay, verse 17, back to John.
Ούγα απεστέλαν, ο Θεός τον βιών εις τον κόσμο, ενα κρίνε τον κόσμο, αλ ενα σωθέ ο κόσμος δι' αυτού.
Okay, lots of subjunctives.
For God, did not send the Son into the world in order that he might judge the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him.
Yes, good, real good. Yeah, for God did not send, and that's just an aorist form there, did not send forth the Son into the world in order that he should judge the world, and there's your subjunctive, krine, but, strong contrast, in order that the world through him should be saved, passive form there, aorist passive subjunctive, sothe. Okay, good. See how frequently when you're getting into these hypotheticals or promises and so forth, you're seeing subjunctive a lot. So I said subjunctive you'll get very used to in the New Testament. Okay, any other questions beside that? It's a good translation.
It'd be interesting to chart the promises.
Mm-hmm.
It really would.
Yeah, it would be. You're going to see some of them in the future. Just it's almost as if they've got just a prophetic tenor to it. This will happen. And then a lot of them subjunctive here. Very interesting. Okay. Jim, verse 18.
One believing in him is not judged, but the one not believing is judged already.
Okay.
Because he has not believed in the name of the only unique begotten.
Okay, there you go. Make everybody happy now. Okay, yes, hopestuon, eisau auton, u krinitai. That's krinitai there is present. So the one believing into him is not being judged. So that would be present, is not being judged. Just a present passive form. And the one not believing already and already has been judged. That's a perfect. So the one not believing already has been judged, and it's got the idea of a present result. You know, he's judged unacceptable. So, because he has not believed, and there's another perfect, he has not believed, and is apparently not at the present time, into the name of the only begotten Son of God. Okay?
I was wondering, just from form, why couldn't I be a middle, you know?
Well, it could be. It could be either passive, middle, or passive.
I'm not judging.
Well, there's, if you take it as a middle, you have a possibility. The one believing into him is not judging himself.
Except, you know, everything else is passive, so you can presume that's passive.
Right. It'd be more likely to be passive because usually the ones believing into him has judged himself, as it were. In other words, he's judged himself so that he wouldn't be judged. There's a certain sense of making, you know, a decision and recognition of your sin in the coming to Christ and believing in him because you have made that kind of judgment. So, again, it's only context, though. It's only context that will make the difference there between the middle and passive and the present. Yes?
I'm just noticing that kind of the way Jesus said, well, I'm not coming to judge the world, but the ones not believing are judging. He's really putting the responsibility on people.
Sure. Yeah. And there's another theme here too. There's kind of an unspoken theme about this judgment with regard to the law, and the law has already judged him, as it were. Of course, Paul develops this really in the book of Romans and others, is that they're already judged by the law. And then Jesus later on in chapter 5 and so forth talks about, you know, you have one who, you know, that Moses in whom you trust, he's the one that's judging you. So he brings out that point as well. So I think that's an element that's not really explicitly stated here, but it's going to be developed later on, that Jesus came not to condemn, but to save. That's what his purpose was. And the world was already condemned because they transgressed the law of God, and the law of God pronounced judgment. Yes?
Would this be the same idea that somebody has already made up their mind and they're unpersuadable to change it in that perfect tense? They've made up their mind?
Well, I don't know if it really necessarily implies that they won't change it, but they haven't to this point. In other words, they have made a decision, and they're abiding within that decision at this point. And of course, the results are contingent upon what's happening at this point.
Yes.
And it's not to say that they're locked into this for the future. Remember, this perfect idea has a past action with an abiding present result, but it doesn't necessarily imply that that result will continue in the future. Generally, you know, you think of it that way, but it's...
It seems to be very emphasized, though, because he's got a present participle with it.
Yeah.
And he's negating, in other words... Because they're not continuing to believe,
yeah.
And they have already judged themselves in the past, and because they're not continuing to believe, they're
sure.
Continuing to be judged.
Yeah. There's very definitely the case, and it's also showing that switching to perfect forms like this also shows that it's not just some arbitrary thing. They have made some decisions, and they put themselves in a position, and now they're in a position they have put themselves in. And so there's a reason to kind of put that emphasis. You see that. As here they are, and they've done this, and they have not believed, and they have have been judged because of it. And so they're in a certain state because of actions that they themselves initiated at a previous time. So you live with your decisions, in other words. Yes?
I'm not sure... Meaning
of a day? Oh, it means already. It's just an adverb, yeah. I think we had it in one of those lists of adverbs. Getches. Okay. Anybody else with a question there? All right, let's move on. That was verse 18, so verse 19 to Eric.
Okay, Eis hom kosmon kai idapetan, hoi anthropoi malon sos gotus eis popor, en dar aus hom sonera parenta.
Okay.
This is the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the judgment. Or should I say thus this particular?
You could. It's not quite as strong, but this is the judgment, or just, and this is the judgment. It's not really so much a contrast to what's gone before. It's kind of a consummation of what's gone before, because he's already talked about how they're judged. So now he says, now this is the judgment. Sure. It's just that Hebrew walk consecutive idea. You know, you're just continuing the narrative.
Yeah.
and you're kind of coming to this point, and you could have a resultative idea whereby you would say no. After you see Tao, used a lot of times, you'll get a sense that it's really intended to be related to the context, and so your translation may vary on it. So now this is the judgment, and this is the judgment. And this whole tea, I'll go ahead and see what you want to do with that.
Oh.
I'll give you a suggestion if you need one.
Oh, I thought of that.
Yes, that'd be better here.
That the light have come into the world, and the men love more darkness rather than the light.
Okay, yeah, the men love darkness rather than the light. Yeah, that malon could be translated rather here. In the comparative. And then A, of course, is your than.
Oh, yeah.
So, you get the idea of more, but it's almost, you could say they love the darkness more than the light, or they love the darkness rather than the light, something like that. Maybe more literally more, like you started off with. And translating ho ti as that is appropriate here. Can anybody give me a reason why you translated that rather than because in this case? This is the judgment. That the light is coming to the world rather than because the light is coming to the world. It's not really a giant point here, but there, yeah.
Well, I just thought that it was kind of an explanation of the previous.
Yes, right.
Or
yeah, and when this thing is a constituent part of the previous, that's usually when you see that. And here, it could perhaps be taken either way, but see, this is the judgment. And then what you're looking for almost is an appositive to that. This is the judgment, such and such. And whatever that is in opposition to judgment. And because of that relationship to the previous, then normally you're going to translate OT as that. Now, sometimes it could be, because, but that's usually when you have a full sentence structure here in the first clause. And see, this is the judgment, kind of leaves you hanging. And it's leaving you waiting for something else. When you have a sentence structure that doesn't really leave you hanging, it's pretty complete in itself. And then you add a OT to it, you're usually getting a ground or a cause or something that's related to that, but it's not a necessary constituent part of the other. This is kind of a little bit of a gray area in between, but I think it makes more sense, as you follow the flow, to take it as that, and then this is giving you. So it's almost like the whole T that's used to introduce a quotation or something. He said that, and then you get the whole thing. So it's just a small point. By the way, I wanted to ask, how many of you as we're going through this are finding that you're pretty well with the exception of maybe a few points here and there, are understanding the flow and the thought and the grammar pretty much? Is it coming pretty well? I think just judging from the way you're translating and so forth, that seems to be the case. Well, that's very good news, because that means what we're trying to do, we're accomplishing. And of course, all throughout, you're never going to be able to pick up every little vocab word. We haven't taken the time to memorize all 5,000 grammatical words in the New Testament. And it's really not efficient to do that because of what we're trying to do. But what we're trying to do is understand the grammatical relationship. So we've been exposed to just about everything here so far. I don't think we've run into an optative yet. That's about all. I mean, you've got perfects and, pluperfects and participles and infinitives and all their in-out clauses and so forth. We're running into those. And, you find that it does make sense. And you begin to start seeing pictures that are involved. Okay. The fact that you want to comment so much on the theology is an indication that, you must be getting something here. All right? That's always the problem with Greek. Not quite as much a problem in Hebrew, but it still is nevertheless. All right.
I'm trying to translate, but I have a little trouble with it.
Okay, go ahead and take a crack at it. We'll see what you...
The works of them were evil.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a problem with moving of tone.
Yes, it is. That is unusual. A genitive modifier's got a little bit more liberty, but you normally are going to expect most often the most common position would be ta erga auton. But this sets it apart, let me see how I would want to render this. You probably would either put a strong emphasis for their works were wicked. It's kind of literally for were of them wicked the works, you know. And that's a little bit strange, but it's broken and separated to really put their works were wicked, yes.
A little bit unusual, too, with a verb in the same verb. Maybe you should have expected an a sound.
Yeah, remember, though, it's a neuter plural subject, and they'll often take a singular verb. That's that quirk that we've run into before. So that would be the reason for it.